Bradder's no-nonsense hits, only on Vitalize Radio, the voice of Torvain.
I have an excellent guest on my show today. He's one of the founding members and current drummer of a top 70s band, best known for the hits Heavenly, Hey Rock and Roll, and of course Under the Moon of Love from Shawaddy Waddy. It's Romeo Challenger. Welcome to the show.
Hello, good to be here.
Glad to have you here, of course. How are you?
I'm fine. Just waiting and excitedly for your questions and all.
We'll live up to that, hopefully, because we've got some great questions lined up for you. So how did you get into drumming?
How did I get into drumming? It starts from actually listening to music through my parents and grandparents. You know, I mean, at the time, it would have been like in the 50s and stuff like that. And I used to listen to all the Elvis Presley, the Everly Brothers, you know, Eddie Cochran, you know, everybody. For some reason, I always wanted to know how the drumming was all. I mean, the rhythmic part of it was always something I was fascinated by. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't particularly interested in playing guitar or even being a singer or anything like that. It was always the rhythm. So, I mean, what I did do is every time I started, we put the radio on and music came on, I tried to sort of follow the beat and see if I could actually play it. Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, I found out I could actually work out how to do it, you know, without having a teacher at that time, which later on I did have a teacher, because you do need a teacher to sort of understand what you're actually doing.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's quite funny as well, because I'm a drummer myself. And
yeah,
you tend to find that when you're a drummer, when any situation, whether you're nervous, whether you're happy or whatever, we have a song stuck in your head, you start drumming with your fingers. You just happen to start drumming. Because my friend says to me, stop. I'm like, what am I doing? He's like, you're tapping. I'm like, no, I'm not. He's like, yes, you are. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm doing it all the time. Traveling to gigs and or anywhere I'm at, where I'm. If I'm sat down in a restaurant or anything like that, especially if there's a restaurant, then maybe there's a little bit of music playing and all that, I always try and tap out what's going to be. It's something that it's in your blood if you're a drummer anyway.
It makes you feel good as well. Because when you've got a starting song stuck in your head and you can drum along to it, it's nothing, no better feeling, really.
Yeah, but, exactly.
So do you play any other instruments other than drums?
Guitar, but not very well. I mean, I didn't explore playing guitar to any level at all, because I looked at it as any time trying to play another instrument is missing out on playing the drums.
Yeah.
So, I know there are a lot of people out there who play drums and guitar very well, you know, but it's not for me. I mean, all the great drummers, all the drummers I really admire don't play guitars anyway, as I know. Keith Moon, John Bonham, you know, Buddy Rich, all people like the great players, they are actually drummers.
Yeah, you know? I think I'm the same as well. When I was in school, the reason why I went over to drums was I was doing guitar lessons, and I used to do them, I used to just dread them. I used to be like, nah, this isn't for me. I really don't like this. I didn't like the teacher either. Yeah. Not that he'll be listening. But it was awful. And I went to drums, and suddenly it was like a real change. And I was like, I'm really looking forward to this. It's like you could get your anger out, you could get anything out.
Well, see, there's lots to learn as far as drums goes, because some people seem to think that it's a very easy instrument to play. And to be fair, initially you can beat out the very basic beats, okay? But if you want to progress and play something different, it can be it is quite challenging to do stuff, you know, get four-way coordination thing going on. And it really is. I mean, like for me, playing something like a guitar, I mean, I've just learned everything around the first three frets. You know, for me, that's all I need to know. As you know, but drumming is something else that even yesterday I was still practicing stuff. I just want to work out and see how they go. You know, it's life's work.
yeah, definitely. I think people, especially in school, people always used to say to me, oh, you got the easy part just being a drummer. And it's like, okay, you have a go. And they'd do it and they couldn't get their hand and feet coordination right. And it's like, there we are. It's not easy, is it?
That's right.
Yeah. But you're a drum teacher as well. So the question that every drummer that's learning wants to know is Rock School or Trinity Rock and Pop?
Trinity.
Yes.
Having said that, I read a few days ago last week that actually Rock School is obviously upping their game and introducing things like brass sections and stuff like that. Because they've realized that, okay, it's one thing to play rock, which I love playing rock and all the rest of it, but there's much further stuff to learn to play than just rock, jazz, Latin American, even if you want to play classical, play a timpani or anything like that. It's wide, it's really varied and all that. But I still teach Trinity. I mean, yeah, Trinity drum kit. I mean, you got Trinity rock and pop as well, which is Trinity rock and pop is probably on the same level as rock school, kind of. But if you play Trinity drum kit, which I do, it's a little bit harder, and the studying is a bit more involved as well.
I think the one thing I always used to like when learning is that the songs that we were learning, because I got brought up in quite a rock household anyway, most of them I'd listened to before. My dad was like, "Oh, I've heard that before," and used to just listen to them. They were easy listening then. He was like, "I like rock. This is perfect." Obviously, the reason why we've got you on the show, which everyone's waiting to hear now, is because you're the original member of Shoddy Waddy. You're still standing.
He's still standing after 50 years. I mean, like the thing is, remember 50 years. 50 years was Shwaddy Waddy from 1973, but I actually started drumming in 1962. I had to do a paper round to buy a drum kit. There was a drum kit there for sale. I think it was about £12. Now, 1962, £12 was a lot of money. Obviously, my parents couldn't afford playing anything like that. I was 12, going on 13. So I took a paper round, which gave me like chance to sort of buy the kit and blah blah blah. And my parents had to sign as guarantor for it, just in case, I defaulted on the payments and all the rest of it. But no, it was great. It sort of taught me how that really, if you want something, you really have to work for it yourself. Don't rely on other people to do it for you, which, set me in good ways.
So tell me, how was the group formed? Like, how were you involved with it? What happened?
Okay. Well, what happened was I joined a progressive rock band in 1969. They were from Leicester. They were called Black Widow. They were sort of like black arts, black magic stuff, all the rest of that. But then they had this stage show which did black magic rituals and all the rest of it, which is weird because I'm a Catholic. But my parents went crazy about that, but anyway, I did it anyway because it was my first professional band, and I learned quite a lot from them because I learned how to play in different time signatures and all the rest of it, and brilliantly. Yeah, after a year of playing with them, well, they had a gig in the Isle of Wight Festival, the 1970 Isle of Wight Festival, which had Jimi Hendrix topping the bill and everything like that. And that was fantastic. That was a great, sort of experience for me to have, and we did loads and loads of gigs. But I mean, ultimately, what happened is the band folded. So in 1973, I was looking around for bands to play for and all the rest of it. I'd have moved back to Leicester by then. And I looked in the local newspaper, and there was an advert for a band wanting a drummer. So I went along to this audition, and it turned out to be one half of Shwaddy Waddy. It was a band called Choice. So I did the audition, got the job, all the rest of it. And they said, oh, yeah, by the way, we're thinking of amalgamating with another band to do a rock and roll review, and I thought, well, let's see how where this goes, because really I'm coming from sort of progressive, difficult music kind of band, playing things, just for the sake of it, actually, just to prove that I could do it. Anyway, we were all about playing original songs. This band had your own choice. They all played a lot of original stuff, which I could sort of put my own way of playing to it. I can add a little bit of difficulty to it and all the rest of them make some sense of it, which was great. And the band, the other half of the band, was a band which ended up being the other half of Shewaddy Waddy. We shared a gig every Tuesday in Leicester, a pub called the Foss Way. We got together, we did the Rock and Roll Review set and all that, and it went down better than our set.
Yeah.
So we thought, oh, you know, and all the people in the pub all, you know, said, oh, well, this is fantastic. Maybe you should sort of try and concentrate and playing in this, you know, playing the rock and roll, you know, full time, and just the two bands get together and just do it, which is what we did. And you know, it was incredible because everywhere we went, it just went crazy. But the thing is, you've got to remember that this was like 73, so, and there was bands like Genesis and all the glam rock thing going on. And you've got to remember Zeppelin was still going.
Yeah.
Yes, was still, all the great bands, are still the great bands that we've ever seen, were around in that era, you know, from 70s to 75, whatever. They were all there. And the thing is, they were being really, really great musicians, but they actually wasn't putting on the show. People wanted to see some sort of entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, which is what Shewaddy Waddy brought. So I think that part of, certainly as far as the live show is concerned, that is probably what people sort of drew people to us to see. Remember, as well as the all different color draped suits and all the rest of it. So it's kind of like a day glow thing on stage.
Yeah.
You know? And it worked for us.
Yeah, who came up with that style then of the jackets and the boots and everything?
Well, I think it was probably the other drummer, Malcolm, who's not with us anymore. Well, I'm going to say not with us, not in the band. He's live kicking. He came up with the idea of doing the Shewaddy Waddy, you know, colours and different drapes and all the rest of it. Because I mean, there was another band that was in the 60s, a band called Pinkerton's Assorted Colors. Now they weren't Teddy Boys. They didn't wear draped suits and all that. But I think they had all different colored suits and all that. So maybe that might have been inspiration as well.
It's really interesting to see, because when you come on stage, it's that those colors, even when you see it on the poster, they're recognizable, and that's the one thing you need in a band. Obviously, is recognizable. Also, when we came to watch you, obviously recently come to watch you twice now, and it's that thing of when the lights go down and you start hearing the music and it's like, well, I'm getting quite excited for this now. And then you come on and you started with Daddy G's. And I thought, this is my favorite song. This is amazing. And it's that thing of everyone was in the mood then. Everyone was ready. They were all joining in. And then it's onto the next hit, onto the next hit. It's just a feel-good show the whole way through. How do you think Shewaddy Waddy has kept its success for like so long?
Well, I think the live shows, we just gave people... Well, the thing is, that remember, in the 70s, Shewaddy Waddy was probably one of the biggest selling artists.
Yeah.
In the 70s, anyway. So we were sort of like the soundtrack, sort of people's teenage years. And they've managed to, most of them have managed to stay with us. You know, and even to the point where their children, and maybe grandchildren, are coming to our shows.
Yeah,
but I think what it is, there's no self-indulgence at all in what we do, and we don't use tracks like, I mean, you'd be surprised how many main bands augment their shows with tracks and stuff like that. Yeah. We don't know. We are 100% live. You know, we just give value for money. We give people exactly what they want. We don't say, well, here's a song now and, you know, we've just written it and blah, blah, blah. You've never heard of it, but we're going to play it. No, people pay to come and see what we've done. Yeah. And I'm quite, you know, I'm okay with that.
It's good. And you just reminded me of what I was going to ask you as well. Is like, before I ask the question, who are the current members of the band? Because I know you've had a bit of a rejig recently.
So, well, it's myself, Romeo Challenger, Andy Pilos, Tom Bull,
yeah,
Sam Holland, Dave Graham, and yeah, Lawrence Plant.
So was it like having the saxophone back after so long? Because I know you had a little spell where Dave came back in 2010.
Yeah, 2010, yeah. But the thing is, I mean, for 40 years or something like that, or 35, whatever years it is, we never ever had a sax player in the show. But we thought, well, me and Dave Graham came along and did a session for us, and a recording a while back. And he's relatively local. He lives in the East Midlands. So we thought, well, maybe we should actually invite him to join the band, because actually a lot of the solos are sax solos, you know. On the Moon of Love and When and all those things, the sax solos. So, yeah, we got him in the band, and really, I mean, people were saying, like, it's just like the record, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and we've kept it that way. He's been a great acquisition for us.
Yeah, I tell you what, when I saw a video probably a few years ago when Dave joined back, and I thought, that sounds like, I think it was Dancing Party, and I thought, that sounds really good with the sax. You did it live, and I was like, yeah, this is lovely.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you have to play every song in the show to the best of your potential. How do you keep that stamina? Because I know you hit your drums quite hard. How do you keep that up?
It's something I've always done. I mean, the thing about, let's put it this way, I'm an absolutely massive fan of John Bonham.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Led Zeppelin, the greatest rock drummer that ever lived. His sound, the way he plays, he's a hard-hitting guy. I just always wanted to emulate that in any band I would in, you know. So I'd be no good in the jazz group.
Yeah.
You know, and
get out.
I mean, the greatest thing, the thing is, he actually came to one of our gigs and came in the dressing room.
Wow.
And I was actually floored to have met him. You know, I mean, I'm not quite sure whether the other guys in the band knew who he was initially, but as soon as he walked in, I knew straight away who he was.
Yeah.
And this was before we, you know, mobile phones and everything, which is something I deeply regret, because I would have loved to have had myself and John Bonham hanging on my wall right now.
Yeah.
I would have loved it.
It's like a childhood dream.
Yeah, so playing loud, you know, it's something that I've always done, and I'll continue to do that. I find it easy to do. Anyway, some people say, "Yeah, well, you know, how do you get that?" It's just what I do, and I'm kind of lucky that I can get away doing it like that at my age. Anyway.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, we won't go into how old you are, Romu, because we just have to respect how good you are for your age, to be honest. Because it's magnificent. Obviously, you've been doing it for 50 years, as you said, and over the years, I remember coming to see you in Newport, and your snare drum split, and they had to replace that, or a drumstick's broke here and there. Has there ever been a major mishap on stage during your time playing?
Not that I can... Well, no, the thing is, look, there's three elements that you need for it to work for you, Sony drum kit. You need the bass drum, you need the snare drum, and possibly the hi-hats, okay? Yeah. So they're working. I mean, I've never actually gone through a bass drum head with my pedal on stage. I've never done that.
Yeah.
But that would be my biggest nightmare. But I've broken tom-toms and floor, you know, things like that. And that's all right, because, you know, tom-toms are there actually to embellish the sound, color what you play and all the rest of it. Yeah. It's not actually essential. Because, I mean, I've seen, you know, if you see a lot of guys, I've seen guys who've come on stage, and all I see is just a snare drum, a bass drum, and a hi-hat.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's all about. It's playing rhythm.
And you also play tambourine as well, don't you? Is that nice?
Oh, yeah.
Does that provide a nice little break from the drums?
Yeah, it does. It's a bit of a break, but it also... gets me out front as well, instead of being stuck behind somebody who was like blocking the view.
Yeah, that's what my friend said to me actually. He said, why don't they bring Romeo to the front? I said, well, obviously that's just the way bands are, but I said, it's a good idea. Just bring Romeo to the front. Let's just see him drum in. It's so good.
Yeah.
So what's the largest venue you've performed at then?
Oh, the last venue, I did the O2 actually. We did the O2, but I mean, like, we've done massive venues in Germany and all over Europe actually. But the O2, the Albert Hall, Wembley Arena. I mean, but I think the O2 has, I think it's 20,000 capacity. So we've done that. So it's great. It's been great. I've quite like enjoyed doing arenas to a degree. But the thing is, it's not quite as personal as playing small venues. Smaller venues is great because you can actually see who you're playing to.
And it's more of a connection then, and you
It's
can
more of a
speak to
connection,
them.
yeah.
And
Yeah.
because I know Andy does a very good job at making little jokes and coming out and speaking to people. It makes the show just that much better, because it's like they
Yeah.
actually care.
Well, it does that, and there's is a thing between you and the audience. You're not aloof and anything like that. It's it's give and take, isn't it, from the audience?
Definitely. So what's the best part about touring? Because I know you do a lot of it. Is it the performing? Is it the meeting fans? Or is it all of it?
Well, there's of meeting fans performing is something. It's always something that I'm up for and enjoy. The worst thing about being in a band is the traveling, I can assure you. Because the thing is, if you're new to it, going to different towns and everything is great and all that. But after you've done it many times over, it's a drag, and it's I mean, the traveling, all I do is sometimes I just, I don't know, read or play chess, something like that, or even sleep. But I'm not, the traveling is something that I don't like. I don't get anything from it at all. But when I do get, going from A to B is something I hate. But when I do get to my destination, then I wake up and think, yes, that's the reason why I'm doing it, because here's the venue, there's the fans, and here we go.
And then you get on the stage, play all the greatest hits, and you're like, oh, there we are. Here we are.
Yeah,
It's
there we are.
back.
Yeah, that's
Yeah. So the ultimate question is, what is your favorite song to perform and why?
I think I've You've Got What It Takes is the one I like, because the thing is, it's four to the floor. I mean, that's a drum and terminology where you play, it's four to the floor, bass drum, snare drum, four quarter beats with the bass drum, blah, blah, blah. Now, the thing is, it's very basic, but it's very difficult to get a feel there, because there's not a lot of space there, because it's covered with the bass drum doing that all the while, and your snare drums on two and four. Your right hand's playing eighth notes and all the rest of it. So it's very basic, very basic. It's like a metronome thing, and you have to really think about exactly how you're going to approach it, and try and feel it at the same time. But I enjoy doing it, because I mean, I don't always get it right. For me, Four to the Floor works at a specific tempo. Which works, and I don't, I used to, what I used to do is to have a metronome at the side of me. And when that comes on, I click it and get the beat and over. But I don't need to do that anymore. I just play along, and the feel's there with me now. I enjoy playing that because, as I say, it's very basic, and it's very hard to get something right when it's a basic rhythm. It's so easy that you can really, really mess it up.
When you come off stage, as I said, you play the drums with relative force. Do your wrists ache? Do you think, crikey, that really tired me out? Or are you just used to it?
No, we just got no. You just get used to it. I mean, I've been shooting about 50 years, but I was playing 10 years previous to that. So really, we're talking about 60 years, aren't we?
It's just amazing. It's brilliant. Is there a change in reaction as you move around the countries then? Because I know you've played in Denmark before. Is it like when you go to Wales, is it a bit more different reaction, or do they both love the music just as much?
They both love the music. Just in Denmark, we platinum selling albums and stuff like that. So yeah, so it, yeah, it was we're quite was successful in Scandinavia as well.
Have you ever watched a Shorty Waddy tribute act? There's a few floating about out there.
Not completely. No, I mean, no, actually, I don't think I have. What I have done, I've seen pictures of them.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, WWE, they look like that.
Yeah. So you obviously do your drumming, you do your drum teacher as well, but what do you do to switch off?
Well, actually, what we do is sit down. I play a lot of chess, actually. I
Yeah.
mean, I quite enjoy playing chess. That's a game that I learned when at school. So we used to go and do we had a chess team, and we used to go to different schools and all that and play them and all that. And every Easter we used to have what you call the chess congress, where all the schools and all meet up at the same place and all play each other and all the rest of it. So yeah, I love it's a game I absolutely love. But the thing is, and it's quite a game where you have to start thinking and doing that. But when it comes to drafts, I can't play drafts at all. I'm useless at drafts.
So we have some questions from listeners. Listeners have sent in their questions. So our first one is from Sam. He said, why were the drums removed from the live version of Blue Moon?
Blue Moon. we just thought, actually, once again, it's something that gets me out for the front. Basically, that's all it. But then with the but it, Blue Moon was we also looked on it as a doo-wop rendition. Anyway, I mean, if you know anything about doo-wop, there's not a lot of drums on it. In fact, there isn't any. It's like singing at the street corners or something like that. And it was just that basic, the gospel rhythm. So the attempt was to bring me out front anyway, once again, give me a rest from playing the drums as well. And a rendition of Blue Moon with the tambourine, which I think works. But having said that, it's weird you should say that, because we were planning to use the original. But I mean, we did used to play on drums that song, but as I say, we discounted it. But now we were talking about bringing it back, so we might do it in the future.
Well, I'm sure Sam will be very, very happy if you do with the question he sent in. We have another listener who said, why is your outfit unique compared to the others? Because you haven't got a teddy boy jacket, I don't think, have you?
It's so restrictive. I mean, the reason of that, I just really can't play the drums using a dirty teddy boy jacket. I did before, because in the early days, it was like eight guys in a band. It was like being in the army. You've got to wear your jacket. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to do that. But as the years progressed and all the rest of it, I thought, you know what? No. And when I get on stage, I want to be sort of as free as possible, as comfortable as possible. So I'm not going to wear the jacket. I'm going to play, and feel comfortable, which is working for me. That's the
And
reason.
that's the main thing. You need to play properly, don't you? You can't have anything
Yeah,
restricting you. It's a bit
that's right.
pointless. We have one final question from a listener, and this is going to have to be a rough guess, I think. How many drumsticks do you go through per year?
But yeah, oh my gosh, oh my goodness, quite a lot actually. Especially now, I'm using lighter sticks.
Oh,
I'm using lighter sticks, but longer in length.
yeah.
So really, it's really so I can sit away from the drums a bit more, but get to the drums and cymbals without bending over. Because you
Yeah.
start bending over and all that, you're going to lose time and everything like that. You just want to make one hit, everything like that, without doing that,
Yeah.
So yeah, I do break quite a lot of sticks, but I've never actually counted them. But it averages about maybe two a gig, maybe,
Yeah.
something like
To a gig. Wow. Is there anything you want to say to the fans listening out there?
that. I just think that thanks for the fans. Without the fans, Shibari Wadi would not be here. And thank you very much for supporting us. And we'll be on stage for as long as you want us to be.
Obviously, there'll probably be future drummers listening. So, is there any advice you'd like to give them if they want to get into the industry?
Well, yes. I think what you need to do, first and foremost, if you like drumming, is to get yourself a teacher. 100%, because I know a lot of guys who play well, but they don't play as well as they could do because they don't have the sort of knowledge and all that, and you know, or they don't know what they're playing. You mean you? I would say you need, there's 40 rudiments, learn them.
Yeah.
But having said that, having said there's 40 rudiments, learn, realistically, you only need four, and the four is single strokes, double strokes, flam, and drag. Those four, because those four are the elements of all the 40 rudiments anyway.
Yeah.
If you play a power diddle, it's a double stroke, a two diddles, and two singles. You know, right, left, right. You know, so yeah, learn all the rudiments and get yourself a teacher.
Yeah, drummers learn to take read. Notes. Learn to read. Yeah, yeah. That's something I've always struggled with a bit, but I've managed to do it for my exams, so that has helped me. Well, Romeo, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been lovely to chat all things Shawadi Wadi with you. We hope you can join us again here on Vitals and Nonsense Hits. But for now, thank you. That's all I can say.
My pleasure. Okay. Take care.
Bradder's No Nonsense Hits, only on Vitalize Radio.